the call. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited,
see,
I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Matt 22, 2-6 in KJ. In the above parable, the father of the bridegroom invited those called to the wedding banquet. This, and many other important elements of the parables of Yeshua, is constantly ignored by the modern church. That is, we must leave the confines of this world and journey in the way to where the banquet is being held. Equally important is the manner in which the man who had not put on the wedding garment was treated. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matt 22:11-13 NKJ. A believer puts on the wedding garment when they take the yoke of Messiah/Christ upon themselves and begin to live a consecrated life dedicated to living the royal law of the Most High God in every aspect of their lives. This world in which we presently dwell is the outer darkness. The false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing are those who tell you that you are saved by a proclamation of faith or belief, and there is no need to bring forth spiritual fruit in the form of works and the living of a Christ-like, consecrated life. Thus, to your own spiritual demise you have been warned. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? James 2:20 NKJ. The wedding garment is put on by those who live a consecrated life dedicated to dwelling in the light of our Heavenly Father. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 1:12 NKJ. We can never become approved when we succumb to the ways of this world, when we live in the manner of the ungodly heathen who worship sex, mammon, and are overcome by our hedonistic culture. Your Heavenly Father does not count prayers or worship as being faithful, but rather, a consecrated life in the spiritual fruit of dwelling in accord with the royal law of the Most High. Therefore, many Christians today will proclaim, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Matt 7:15-23 NKJ. Yeshua did not say to philosophically believe or profess one's faith with their lips. Yeshua said to take the yoke of Messiah/Christ upon you, Matt 11:29, and pick up your own cross and follow in his footsteps. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" Luke 9:23-25 NKJ. Yeshua taught that the kingdom of God that is within us, LK 17:21, must be entered through the narrow gate. The kingdom cannot be entered through a profession of faith without action, or prayer accepting the Lord as one's personal Savior, without the believer themselves following in the way.
Thus,
the words of the disciples when they proclaimed, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God," Acts 14:22 NKJ. If the kingdom was achieved by saying a prayer, or merely calling upon the name of the Lord with one's lips, then why would the journey in the way be portrayed as having to undergo many tribulations enter the kingdom of God? Modern Christians can't find the narrow gate because they are following shepherds who cling to man-made doctrines and lead the flock in the wrong direction. I am Jacob/James, who you know historically as the brother of Yeshua/Jesus, and I have been sent back into this world to make known to you that the kingdom is at hand, and you must seek to enter therein. And while this statement of fact might sound preposterous to the average Christian who is ill-informed with respect to the spiritual essence of Yeshua's original teachings and the unlimited power of the Most High God, you are not required to believe, but rather, I will provide you with the tools to seek and find and enter into the kingdom so you can confirm what I write by virtue of your own individual spiritual experiences. The church is at present being led by blind guides who, like the Sadducees and Pharisees in New Testament biblical times, have obstructed the flock's path into the kingdom because they preach man-made doctrines and the traditions of the Church of Rome, because they have themselves failed to put on the wedding garment, and have not themselves entered the kingdom to learn directly from my brother Yeshua. They lead the people in the wrong direction, and while they attempt to make sense of the written word of the scriptures from a carnal perspective, these words are as relevant to them as to the carnal Jews in biblical times. How terrible it will be for you experts in religious law. For you hide the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering. Luke 11:52 NLT. The key of knowledge is the spiritual meaning of the scriptures, that is, not the letter that killeth, but rather, the spiritual meaning that can only be discerned by spiritual men and women who live a consecrated life. And what is the flaw that the experts in the written word are accused of? You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering. You must therefore use the key of knowledge by turning it within yourself and opening the inner narrow gate to the kingdom within. You do this by putting on the wedding garment of spiritual purity, so the knowledge of the mysteries of God can be taught to you directly from your indwelling spiritual nature. Those who fail to learn the lessons of history are destined to repeat the error of the past. It is also worth noting that historically, the believers of the simple faith have always rejected the prophets who were sent to speak to them, because man's spiritual reality is beyond natural man's ability to perceive and understand, and this fact is repeated on nearly every page of the New Testament. So if it is true, as Paul and others have warned in 1 Corinthians, that the baptized and committed Christians of whom it was said by Paul, "For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." 1 Cor 1:5-7 NIV. That Paul warned that they were yet too carnal to perceive the mysteries of God, and they would look upon the deep things of the Spirit as foolishness. 1 Cor 2:14. And that to these believers who were enriched in every way about the testimony of Christ, Paul warned that, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready." 1 Cor 3:1-2 NIV. Let me also add a little from my personal experiences, that is, the people to whom Paul was speaking was not near as carnal and ill-prepared to perceive and comprehend the mysteries of God as is the materialistic Christians today, whose thinking has been molded by government schools and our modern television and entertainment media. Moreover, the wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed makes reference to that experience when the disciple has picked up their own cross, and the narrow door within them is opened, and they are able to sit at the feet of the Master and be personally taught by the one rabbi and teacher. As we pray to understand these mysteries, that Paul speaks of mysteries that were beyond the comprehension of the baptized and confirmed believers, we must come to terms with their nature. To understand the problem of why Paul could only speak to these believers who were in every way enriched as babes in Christ and yet were unable to perceive anything beyond the milk of the gospel, we must first recognize exactly what the modern church is beseeching the Lord to give them. In their prayers, they are requesting the Lord to totally restore within their minds the spiritual gospel of Christ spoken of by Paul in the second and third chapters of 1 Corinthians, which is the mysteries of God, which the Bible states Jesus revealed only to his disciples and chosen followers. To put the prayers of modern believers in a proper perspective, every Christian who beseeches the Lord today to enlighten their understanding is in fact asking to see and hear things so astounding that they are beyond a man's power to describe or put in words. And after they gaze upon these mysteries, what they have witnessed will be of such a profound nature that they will not be allowed to tell them to others. 2 Cor 12:4-LB. What Christians today beseech the Lord to give them in their prayers and supplications, then, is the very pearl of great price that the 4th century pagan church threw away. Moreover, if the modern believer is not ready to open their minds to the minor mysteries that I write about on my websites, which are intended to assist in the spiritual restoration of the teachings of Jesus known as the Way, how then will they ever open their minds to the profound mysteries of God that the Apostle says would appear as foolishness to the Christians who are of the simple faith? So, because the vast majority of modern believers are mere infants in Christ, and they must themselves pick up their cross and walk in the way in order to comprehend the mysteries of God, then the Lord speaks to them in symbols that convey man's higher spiritual reality in allegorical forms. Now, that is not to say that the crucifixion and resurrection was not an historical event, but because all things possess a threefold nature and form, these symbols possess both a soul and spiritual meaning that is beyond the comprehension of those who only see the written word, which Paul refers to as the letter that killeth. But once you understand the parable of the prodigal son as a portrayal of each soul's plight in this world, and their eventual return to the Edenic kingdom of origination from which they emerged, then you can begin to comprehend the very intimate meaning of the resurrection in the terms spoken of in the words of St. Gregory in his treatise on the soul and the resurrection. The resurrection is no other thing than the reconstitution of our nature in its original form. They have made themselves Latter-day Sadducees and Pharisees while Christians call upon the Lord with their lips. They reject Yeshua/Jesus' teachings, and they hate the Word of God. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know Him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. The followers of Yeshua/Jesus should be the light of the world, but because they cling to the doctrines and traditions of men, they have alienated the lost sheep from the Father, as one who was sent by the Lord to speak to them. They now have no excuse for their sin.
Thus,
it is written in the book of the Holy Word of God, "At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel, so hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself."
Again,
"When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself." Ezek 3:16-21 NIV. In the manner of the Sadducees and Pharisees, it is evil to preach the doctrines and traditions of men and teach them as the word of God, as is being done by Christians today. The followers of Yeshua must be the light of the world, who guide the lost sheep into the Edenic kingdom of origination. But instead, they lead the unknowing down the broad way of self-destruction. And to the leaders of the church, the warning of the Lord states, "But woe to you, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. What you, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Matt 23:13-15 NKJ. Go in where? The teachings of Yeshua, and the way is the means for the lost sheep to enter the Edenic kingdom of origination, and not a system of beliefs and man-made doctrines, as is being published by the false shepherds today. Thus, the false shepherds have shut up the kingdom of heaven so that the lost sheep are unable to find their way. Christians will receive the greater condemnation, while most Christians today will reject these original spiritual concepts. My stating these words to you this day can be perceived in the manner of a two-edged sword, that is, if embraced, they will begin the process of opening the door to the mysteries of God that Paul spoke of, and if ignored, and I have in fact been sent by the Lord to speak to the flock of believers, and make the original essence of Yeshua/Jesus' teachings known to you who prophesy in his name. Then these words will apply, and whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Mark 6:11 NKJ. Because, in the words of the Lord, and that servant who knew his master's will, and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Luke 12:47-48 NKJ. You, therefore, have been given much this day, that is, the keys of knowledge that, if utilized properly, will open the narrow gate within you and permit entrance to the kingdom, whereby you will know about the mysteries of God by virtue of your own spiritual experiences, that is, things so astounding that they are beyond a man's power to describe or put in words. But if you reject these teachings in the same way that the Sadducees and Pharisees rejected them, and you cling to the milk of the gospel, refusing to leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, Heb 6:1 NIV, then you will receive an even greater judgment than those who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes. Moreover, every time that you judge and condemn those who did not know the master's will, your own judgments will turn back upon you and condemn you in the day of judgment. The voice of the prophet sent from the Lord to make known to the modern Christian the essence of the gospel message that became lost when the teachings of the way was placed in the hands of carnal men. The message speaks of the way of life and of the impending doom of those who turn away from the way of truth. What secrets did Jesus teach his disciples privately in the house that was not revealed to the multitudes, who were taught only in parables, with respect to this revelation of the higher reality of mankind? The Apostle Paul warned the believers of the simple faith that Christians who remained carnal in their thinking and lifestyle would unknowingly condemn and look upon the mysteries of God as foolishness. In the same way that responsible adults do not expose children to mature themes, neither does spiritual Christians reveal to babes in Christ, 1 Cor 3:1, the higher knowledge and the mysteries of God. What is therefore presented in this website is reserved only for those very few who have thoroughly cleansed and sanctified themselves, those who are prepared to receive the sacred secrets of the kingdom of God, because the higher knowledge of the kingdom should only be revealed to those who are spiritually undefiled, pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. Rev 14:4 NLT. The purpose of this website is to re-establish the foundational mindset and way of life that is fundamental to the essence of the teachings of the way, in order to permit the genuine disciple to move beyond the limitations of this physical world and come into the presence of the light, not in belief or doctrine, but to actually dwell in the inner temple and converse with the Lord as intimately as they would their husband or wife, and as naturally as they would their pastor or clergy. If, then, you are not prepared to go on to maturity and thus learn the mysteries of God that will be unknowingly condemned and viewed as foolishness by the Christians of the simple faith, then you must leave this website immediately, because he who is permitted to gaze upon the sacred knowledge of the kingdom and fails to embrace and be molded by the mysteries which the Lord will impart to those who are willing to follow him into the kingdom, making the necessary sacrifices and picking up their cross and following in the way, will be guilty of the blood of the Lord, and will receive the greater judgment and condemnation. Knowledge not lived is sin against the Holy Spirit, and will not be so easily forgiven. If, then, you are not prepared to be in the world and not of it, if you are not prepared to give up all that you possess in this world, if you do not crave and desire truth above everything else in life, and you are not ready to learn the mysteries of God that cannot be perceived or comprehended by Christians who are yet carnal in their understanding and manner of life, then return to the safety of your churches in the protection of the good news and the elementary teachings of the simple faith. Return here only when you are ready, willing, and able to give your life totally to the Lord. When you enter this website, you will find yourself at an entrance point designed for sincere Christians in search of truth and a more in-depth understanding of the Word. As a Christian, you already possess the foundation for true enlightenment and need only to embrace a more pure biblical mindset and become the good ground within which the seed of the word is planted. From a biblical perspective, you are presently the people of the simple faith who have been nourished by the milk of the gospel, and it is important that your thinking be transitioned one step at a time. That is, whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Isa 28, 9-10 in KJ. If, then, you desire to know the mysteries of God that could only be revealed to those who were taught privately in the house, then you must not skip ahead when you enter this portal, but rather, you must be nourished by each succeeding concept in the exact order they are presented. In his epistle to the Trallos, the first century overseer of Antioch, named Ignatius, who was himself a disciple of John, writes to the people of the simple faith whose minds have not yet been prepared to receive what the Apostle Paul referred to as the mysteries of God, and writes, "Might I not write to you things more full of mystery? But I feared to do so, lest I should inflict injury on you who are babes. Pardon me in this respect, lest, as not being able to receive their weighty import, ye should be strangled by them." Of the mysteries of God, Paul himself wrote to the congregation at Corinth, in paradise. He heard things so astounding that they are beyond a man's power to describe or put in words, and anyway I am not allowed to tell them to others. 2 Cor 12, 2-4 TLB. Thus, that those who are permitted to gaze upon the higher spiritual reality of man cannot convey what they see in words that carnal man will comprehend, and are not even permitted to speak of their experiences to others, is the thought expressed by Paul with respect to those who are still of the simple faith when he warned, "And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know." 1 Cor 8, 2 NKJ. If then, in your desire for the higher Christian revelation, you jump ahead and circumvent the process of learning and revelation, you will only inflict damage upon yourself, being unprepared to comprehend the higher concepts of the teachings of the way. The below websites are written in the name of Alan Cronshaw, which is my birth name in this present life. The manner in which these other websites are composed is very different than on this one we're in. On these other websites, there's an attempt to document and demonstrate every proof and concept of the way using a multitude of resources and biblical verses, while on this website, there is no other authority than Jacob writing to you as the brother of Yeshua, who was the leader of the Hebrew/Christian movement of the way. In the recently discovered Gospel of Thomas, it is written, 12, the disciples said to Jesus, "We know that you will depart from us. Who is to be our leader?" Jesus said to them, "Wherever you are to go to James the righteous, for whose sake heaven and earth came into being." So to once again restore the teachings of the way, which is today known as Christianity, the Lord has sent Jacob/James, the brother of Yeshua/Jesus, back into the world in order to guide the faithful flock into the truth, the light, and the kingdom within. Luke 17:20-21. It is there that my brother Yeshua/Jesus awaits you. The above warning with respect to the predicted corruption of Yeshua's teachings is further stated in the first century writings known today as the Clementine Recognitions, where it is written, "Our Lord and Prophet, who hath sent us, declared to us that the wicked one, having disputed with him 40 days, and having prevailed nothing against him, promised that he would send apostles from amongst his subjects to deceive. Wherefore, above all, remember to shun apostle or teacher or prophet who does not first accurately compare his preaching with that of James, who was called the brother of my Lord, and to whom was entrusted to administer the church of the Hebrews in Jerusalem, and that even though he come to you with witnesses, lest the wickedness which disputed 40 days with the Lord and prevailed nothing should afterwards, like lightning falling from heaven upon the earth, send a preacher to your injury, as now he has sent Simon upon us, preaching, under pretense of the truth, in the name of the Lord, and sowing error. Wherefore he, who hath sent us, said, Many shall come to me in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them." Again, it is warned by Clement. Wherefore observe the greatest caution, that you believe no teacher, unless he bring from Jerusalem the testimonial of James the Lord's brother, or of whosoever may come after him. For no one, unless he has gone up thither, and there has been approved as a fit and faithful teacher for preaching the word of Christ, unless, I say, he brings a testimonial thence, is by any means to be received. But let neither prophet nor apostle be looked for by you at this time, besides us. For there is one true prophet, whose words we 12 apostles preach, as predicted. The ministers of Satan have succeeded in altering the teachings of my brother Yeshua, and continue to lead many into the abyss of darkness. But have no fear, my brothers and sisters, for the teachings of the way has been restored so that you might be able to overcome the darkness and enter the kingdom of light within you. Luke 17:20-21.